1302. You can phone 318-445-4875. And now, here is Second Union Baptist Church Radio broadcast already in progress.
I'm going to get it.
church. Say amen. Well, I tell you, the Holy Spirit worked that out just perfect. If I can have all of that choir, just come sit right in here. I'm not going to be too long. Amen. I took my watch off so I can see. Amen. I don't know who made these little things, but this is nice. Amen. Praise God. I want to be born again. All you got to do is say the word. Boy, what a great song to get me into what I want to talk about. Amen. I want to read one verse of scripture. I'm going to read it from two different translations. I want to read the King James. While you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 4. And I want you to look at verse 13. Verse 13 comes after verse 12. Verse 14 comes after verse 13. I say that because verse 12 is a verse of scripture that, especially after Acts chapter 4, verse 12, is a scripture that you ought to memorize. It says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given by men by which men may be saved other than the name of Jesus. That's verse 12. And then when we look at verse 13, praise God, it says this, and we're just going to read one verse. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, and that they had been with Jesus. Now, let me read it from the CEV translation. This is our youth Sunday, and I want these young people to really see what this verse is saying. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. It's a little lengthy, but it's okay. It says the officials were amazed to see how brave Peter and John were, and they knew that these two apostles were only ordinary men and not well educated. The officials were certain that these men had been with Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. And I'm going to talk just for a little while. I'm going to do a part one and part two on this question. How may others know that you are Christians? How, and I put you, so that means that I'm trying to exclude myself. Let me rephrase that question. How may others know that we are Christians? That's what we're going to talk about. How may others know that we are Christians? And the reason why I was so enthused about that song that they sung, because in my notes here, I got a question that I need to ask everybody, and I'm going to take my glasses off so I can see. How many born-again believers are in the house today? Can I see your hand? Amen. I'm looking around. I got my glasses off so I could see. Amen. How many born? You can put your hands down. You see, our text today finds us after Peter and John. Of course, these Bible readers know, were represented, praise God, the early church, had just been used by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to work a miracle in the life of a man who had been lamed. Praise God, he was laid at a gate called Beautiful, and while Peter and John would go up to pray, praise God, He asked money of them. He begged them for alms every day. And you got to understand that he begged a whole lot of people. And when they look at his life, they said he had been there for about 38 years. That's a long time, praise God, sitting and begging and asking people money so that you can, till you can get a by, that you can get by. But we find that in that text, Peter and John did something. They gave that man what he really needed. Amen. Because they said, look on us, praise God, silver and gold, we have none. But such as we have, give ID in the name of Jesus. They told him to get up. I want you to rise up and I want you to walk. Praise God. And as a result of that, they said 5,000 men, praise God, were saved. Now, if you go back in history, history would say, well, it was a little bit more than 5,000. They would put it in the neighborhood of about 15,000. When you count the wives, you count the women, and you count those children. So there's about 15,000 people that were saved. And we see Peter and John, after they did that, man, those folks got furious because they did that, whipped them and took and beat them and put them in jail. Amen. And not only that, praise God, they had to had to appear before the Sanhedrin Council. Amen. The Sanhedrin Council is sort of like our Supreme Court today. And they wanted, and Peter and them were actually, I'm going to tell you the truth, I believe Peter and them were absolutely enthused, praise God, to get an opportunity to stand before such august crowd as the Sanhedrins to give their testimony. Praise God. And Peter spoke. He spoke with some boldness. Y'all know Peter. We know him as a big mouth guy. He spoke. He was straightforward about how his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he was the one, praise God, that performed the miracle in that man's life. Praise God. And then they released him from jail. Praise God. But after they had beaten him, they released him from jail. But look, praise God, this is the thing that gets me to our the question this morning, praise God, before releasing them from jail, our text says that those members of that Sanhedrin court said that they looked and they marveled, praise God, because of these supposedly unlearned men. In other words, they were not educated in the major universities. They hadn't gone to some of the schools that Paul went through, but they marveled, praise God, because of their boldness. They marveled because of their braveness, praise God. And they took knowledge that they had been with God. Amen. Praise God. And which brings me to our text today. How may others know that we are Christians? I ask you all to raise your hand. Praise God. How many born again believers in here? And I think everybody in here raised their hand. Praise God. You see, you know you've been born again. Amen. But the question is, how will the world know, praise God, that we are born again? How may the world know that we are in fact Christians? Amen. Let me take y'all back on Wednesday night. What Bible study? Wednesday night, right, Sister Lee? That was a, let me make sure I got it right. It was a German poet, praise God, by the name of Heinrich Heine. I think I got his name right. Thank you, Sister Lee. Heinrich Heine. And he had this quote, praise God. He said that, if you show me your redeemed, I'm gonna skip that. Praise God. And there are some ways. There are five ways. Praise God that others may know that we are Christians. Because I'm looking at the time. I'm gonna try to fly. Praise God. I won't do all five of them today. I'm gonna do three today. And if you are writing, just let me know. I'm gonna go a little bit slow. If you raise your hand, and I know that you're writing, I'll slow up a little bit. Praise God, because there are some ways that the world may know that we are in fact Christians. You don't have to walk around with no big old neon sign on your head. And every time you walk up, somebody hit a button. No. They're gonna know by your lifestyle. Praise God. And the very first thing that people are gonna look at to see whether or not you are a Christian is going to be your attitude towards sin. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. Oh, neighbor. Your attitude towards sin will let others know whether or not you are a Christian. Praise God. That's the very first one. You see, an important part of conversion is the fact of this thing that we call repentance, which includes turning away from sin. That's why when Peter stood up and preached that sermon on the day of Pentecost, everybody know it. Acts 2:38, what did he say? Praise God. He said, these folks are not drunk as some of y'all might think, but this is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And he began to tell them what the prophet Joel had said. But then when you get to Acts 2:38, he said something. He says that Peter said to them that you must first repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You see, repentance means doing an about face. Amen. If my legs weren't wobbly, because I'm a military guy, I used to march all the time. And they give the command about face. In other words, you're going in one direction. And when they say an about face, you do an about face and you go into a very opposite direction. In other words, you're no longer marching in the direction that you were going. Amen. And by being born again, praise God, being means that we are born of God. Reason why I had to throw that in, because if we look at 1 John, put this on the marquee, 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Look what John writes. He says, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him. Talking about the seed of Christ. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now let me give you the correct interpretation of that verse scripture. Okay, I'm gonna give it to you. This is the correct interpretation of that scripture. It says, one who is born of God does not continue to practice sin. Yet he may slip up sometime, but he will not stay in his sin. Oh boy, I hope y'all caught that. I hope you caught that, because for me to stand up here and tell you that you're not going to commit sin, I'll be standing up here lying to you. Praise God. But this scripture is talking about those who continue to practice sin. Praise God. And you see, the devil, amen, see, a believer who falls into sin, praise God, they're going to try to do everything within their power to get out of it. Amen. They're gonna do everything within their power to get out of it. Praise God. They're gonna reach out to God. God, I'm sorry. Praise God. They're gonna cry out to him and they're gonna ask his forgiveness so that they can get out of that sin. Praise God. Clear their conscience. But God, let me tell you something. You are fighting against a foe, one by the name of the devil. Praise God, who wants to make us compromise concerning, praise God, our Christian walk. You know what the devil will tell us sometimes? Praise God. See, the devil sometimes will tell us because he wants us to compromise. Praise God. He'll tell you such things as, it's all right for you to go to church on Sunday morning. Praise God. But it's okay to go to the beer joint, praise God, on Sunday evening. He'll tell you such things that it's all right to pray on Monday, But it's okay not to pray on Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. He'll tell you that it's all right to go to prayer service, a Bible study on a Wednesday night. But it's okay to go to the casino on a Thursday night. See, the devil wants us to compromise. Praise God. But the Spirit of God, God wants us to walk that straight and narrow as much as we could. Praise God, because we got the Holy Spirit who leads us. But an encounter, I'm talking about a one who has an encounter with Jesus, will make a difference. Praise God. An encounter with Jesus will make a difference in our lives. As I was sitting at that funeral yesterday, and I listened to all of the people that got up and talked about Sister Shirley yesterday. Praise God. She had an encounter with Jesus, and that encounter with Jesus, praise God, changed her whole life. Praise God. You see, our attitude towards sin, praise God, will let us know, praise God, hallelujah, whether or not we are in fact a Christian. Oh, I'm going to cut through some of this. Praise God. You see, our life is full of changes. It is. You may say, well, no, mine ain't changed. Life is full of changes, y'all. Can I tell you some things that'll change us? Our health gonna change. Health changes us. Wealth changes us. Marriage changes us. But the greatest change ought to be the change that was wrought in our heart. And that was the change at conversion. And the world ought to see that we have left our sins and that we are walking with our Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise God. That's why Paul could stand flat-footed or sit down on a piece of wood. Praise God. And write at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Praise God. Any man, therefore any man who is in Christ Jesus is a what? I didn't hear enough of that. Is a what? A new creature. Praise God. Let you know that old things have passed away, and behold, all things ought to become new. Amen. You see, our attitudes towards sin is one that will show whether or not, praise God, we in fact are Christians. Amen. And if you have a good attitude towards sin, you know what a good attitude towards sin is? Praise God, if I see where I have wronged somebody, praise God, I'm going to go and tell them I'm sorry. Get it straight. You know what a right attitude towards sin is? Praise God, is when I speak to my neighbor, when I speak to my friends, praise God, when I don't hold grudges, praise God. That's a right attitude towards sin. And guess what? When you have those type of attitudes towards sin, praise God, this world is going to see it. They're going to see the change that has taken place in your life. So number one, if you want to know whether or not you are a Christian, praise God, and how the world is going to know that you're a Christian is your attitude towards sin. But number two, I told you I'm not going to be here long. It's 12 o'clock now. I'm almost too long already. But I still got to take these other two, y'all. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. The second thing, praise God, that will let others know that we are Christians, praise God, about the things that satisfies us. Turn to your neighbor, say, neighbor. Amen. Those things that satisfy you, look him in the eye, will let others know whether or not you are a Christian. Now let me peel a grape on that. Praise God. You see, Christians, praise God, should be satisfied by the things of God. Amen. Don't y'all get quiet on me. Praise God. See, we ought to be satisfied by the things of God. Praise God. If we go back and we read Luke, we're not going to put it. I just put it, throw it up there. I'm going to write this scripture down and go back and read it. Praise God. In Luke chapter 12, verses, I'm going to say verse 13 all the way to verse 21. Praise God. Tell a story. Tell a story about two brothers, praise God, who wanted Jesus to divide their stuff. Jesus said, who in the world you think I am? I ain't got no time to be doing no dividing and all that kind of stuff. You go to a judge, let the judge do that kind of stuff. And then he spoke to one, praise God, who had an attitude, praise God, and we could see that he was rich and he didn't have God in his life. How can I tell he didn't have God in his life? Because we'll read where he says that I got so much stuff. I got so much stuff. I got barns. I got grain. I got animals. Praise God. And the scripture said that he had plenty of stuff. Amen. And he wanted to do, all he wanted to do was enjoy his plentiness. I'm talking about to the point where he said, I got some barns. Not that, let me go tear some of them down and build some more because I got so much stuff. Let me say something to you. If God blesses you with a whole lot of stuff, don't you let that stuff take the place of God. Oh, Lord, let me say that again. Let me say that again. If God blesses you with some stuff, don't let that stuff take the place of God. Praise God, because as he talked about getting these different barns and how he was going to sit back, he was going to eat, he was going to drink, and he was going to be merry. Praise God, God had to speak to him. Praise God, and I want you to put this one up there. Put Luke 12, verse 20 up there, because God had to tap him on the shoulder. Praise God, knock on his heart. And he took that, and look what he said. But God said unto him, thou what? Fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? In other words, you have accumulated a lot of stuff. You have worked for a lot of stuff. Praise God, your soul is going to be required of you. Who's going to spend the stuff that you got? Who's going to use the stuff that you're going to leave behind here? Because you're going to get out of here. Praise God. So you better make sure that you have your anchors fixed firm in Jesus. If stuff satisfies you, you in trouble. If stuff satisfies you, you in trouble. The Apostle Paul, one of the greatest minds, praise God, that could have come across up on this earth. Praise God, a man who thought that it was all about him. Oh, y'all know his story. Praise God. I wish somebody could write our story. Praise God. See, Paul's story is here so that we can have an example. Praise God. Y'all know his story, man. He thought that the world, that the sun rose and shine on him. Praise God, because he was a Pharisee. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He could speak 12 languages. He could do a whole lot of things. Praise God.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
K-A-1-T, Gina Alexandria, 88.1.
You're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches